If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is continuous coverage in the trial of Brian Walsh from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
So I'm going to ask to show you and publish Exhibit 224, Image 1261, the bag of plastic sheeting. Number 5. Ma'am, thank you. Do you recognize this?
Yes.
And is this what you were describing to us?
Yes, it is. This is the packaging for the plastic sheeting.
And then I'd ask to publish and show you Exhibit 225, Image 1264, and have you explain the content of the bag?
You may publish that, 1264?
Yes, Your Honor. Can you describe that?
This is one side of the plastic sheeting. In size, it's estimated to be around 8 feet by 11 feet.
And what observations did you make?
There were two areas of light red-brown staining that I observed. One that I gave as area A was on the bottom right corner, and area B was on the top left corner.
And what testing did you do?
On area A, I did the screening tests and confirmatory test, as well as from stain B.
And what were your results?
From stain A, it had screened positive. However, the confirming test was negative. On stain B, the confirming test was positive.
Is there a reason that A is negative and B is positive?
It is possible that stain A was not blood, or there was not enough sample on the swabs I had collected for testing to be detected by the test.
So what did you do?
A sample was preserved from the area B, which was 7-20.5.2.1.
And was this assigned for DNA testing?
Yes, it was.
So what were items 9-1 through 9-6?
9-1 through 9-6 were swabs that had been collected from a gray Volvo.
And did you examine those swabs?
Yes.
And what did you do to preserve those swabs?
All of these swabs were treated as a quantity limited sample, so no testing was done. They were all cut up and put into tubes for potential DNA testing.
And were any of those assigned for DNA testing?
Yes.
And which one?
Item number 9-4, which was a swab from trunk mat number 1.
And 9-12, I'd like to talk about now, the jacket, the black jacket. And I refer you and ask to publish Exhibit 226, Image 1119.
You may.
Thank you. What observations did you make of this?
There were various tannish brown stains on the exterior of the jacket.
And were there stains?
Not red brown. They were tannish brown in color.
And did you do any testing?
Yes, I did.
What kind of testing?
I did the screening test for blood on all of these stains, as well as from all the unstained areas of the jacket.
And what were your results?
Screening on all of the stains, as well as the unstained areas, was negative.
I'd now like to move on to item 9-20, the tape with gauze and red brown stain. And I'd like to refer to and publish Exhibit 227, Image 0899. May I publish that, Your Honor?
May.
Thank you. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And can you explain what this image is of?
This is a picture of the, it actually turned out to be some sort of like tissue paper or paper towels, but I had rolled them out for a picture of the overall item.
And did you make any observations?
Yes, I did.
And what were your observations?
There was red-brown staining on a lot of the item, so I identified two areas as area A, which is on the center bottom, and area B, which is on the top right.
And what testing did you do?
The screening test and confirming test for blood.
And what were the results?
On both of these areas, A and B, I had confirmed positive for blood.
And what did you do?
Samples were preserved from both A and B. Sample A was given item number 9-20.1.
And was that assigned for DNA testing?
Yes.
I want to move on to 9-22, the white towel, and refer to Exhibit 228, Image 1128, and ask you to identify that and ask to publish that to the jury.
You may.
What observations did you make of this towel?
I noted the red-brown stains on the majority of the towel.
And what testing did you do on this towel?
Identified one of the areas of red-brown staining in the center of the towel for testing.
And what kind of testing did you do?
The screening and confirming test for blood.
And what were your results?
This area A in the center had confirmed positive for blood.
And then what did you do?
A sample was preserved from this area A and given item number 9-22.1.1.
And was that assigned for DNA testing?
Yes.
Moving on to 9-23, I'd like to ask you about and also ask to publish Exhibit 229, image 1132. May I do that, Your Honor?
Yes, and what's it an image of?
It's an image of the towel, the next towel number two.
Towel number two. You may publish it.
Thank you. Could you tell me about this towel, what your observations are?
I noted the large area of red-brown staining in the center and identified it as red-brown stain A.
And what testing did you do?
The screening and confirming test for blood.
And what were the results?
The sample A had confirmed positive for blood.
And what then did you do after sample A confirmed positive for blood?
Sample was preserved for potential DNA testing.
Moving on to item 9-27, the gray slippers, I would ask at this time to publish Exhibit 230, image 8398.
8398?
Yes, Your Honor.
And is that the light gray polka dot slippers or the dark gray slippers?
The dark gray slippers.
Okay. Dark gray slippers may be published.
What observations did you make?
I noted red-brown stains on both sets of slippers, as well as identifying one as stain A, which was on the top of the left slipper, and stain B, which was on the bottom of the left slipper.
I'd also ask to show Exhibit 231, image 8399. It's also the same dark gray slippers, just the back of the dark gray slippers.
You may.
Mr. Sheehan, can you tell me about this photograph?
This is the bottom of, or the soles of the dark gray slippers.
So what testing did you do?
The areas A and B, A being on the top of the left slipper and area B on the bottom of the left slipper. I did the screening test and confirming test for blood.
And what were your results?
And both of these areas had confirmed positive for blood.
And then what did you do?
A sample was collected from both of these areas, as well as from the unstained areas on the interior of the slippers.
If we could go back to the previous Exhibit 230, please. Can you explain where you're talking about the unstained interior?
On the light blue section, I tried to do a collection from the areas that were not stained.
Meaning not red-brown?
Correct.
And why did you take a sample from the interior unstained area?
This is to collect any potential amount of skin cells in this area to help identify a person who may have been wearing the slippers.
And where exactly are you trying to swab at that point?
In this case, for the slippers, it would be anywhere it would be high contact with the feet. So all the light blue areas on the sole, as well as underneath where the toes would be.
And why were you trying to avoid the red-brown stains?
To at least limit any type of cross-contamination between the stains and for skin cell collection.
So did you give numbers to any of the areas that you collected?
Yes.
And what numbers did you give?
From the interior unstained areas was given item number 9-27.2.1, and from stain A was 9-27.3.1.
And were those two that you just described, those two numbers that you gave us, were those assigned for further DNA testing?
Yes.
I'd like to talk to you now about 9-28, the apparent hairs, and I'd ask to publish Exhibit 232, Image 1200. IMG underscore 1200, that being apparent hairs.
You may do so.
What observations did you make?
On this item, there was a section of red-brown staining in the center of the apparent hairs, which I had done the screening and confirming test for blood.
And what were the results?
The red-brown stain identified as stain A was confirmed positive to be blood.
And what did you do as a result of that?
A sample was preserved from this and given item number 9-28.1.1.
And was this assigned for DNA testing?
Yes, it was.
Did you do anything else with this item after the blood testing?
Yes, I did.
And what did you do?
I examined two of the hairs for classification.
And how do you classify a hair?
The structure of a hair is very similar to the structure of a number two pencil, where the eraser is the root, the outer yellow portion is the cuticle, the wooden portion is the cortex, with the inner graphite section being the medulla. All four of these areas under a microscope demonstrate various types of characteristics, and it's these characteristics that are used to classify a hair as a human or animal.
And where do you make those observations?
In the lab using a microscope.
And were you able to classify the hairs here?
Yes, I classified two of them.
And how did you classify them?
Again, I pulled randomly two of them out of the clump of apparent hairs and to examine in the lab.
And did you classify them as human or animal?
One of them I had classified as being consistent with a human hair, and the second hair was consistent with an animal hair.
I'd ask now to publish Exhibit 233, Image 0018, that being a hair number one.
You may.
Mr. Sheen, can you tell me about this image?
This is the root of the hair that I identified as being consistent with a human hair.
And you said this was the root?
Yes.
And can you tell me why you characterized it as human hair?
Due to the nature and the shape of the root itself, as well as other characteristics from the shaft and the medulla.
I'd ask to publish the next exhibit, 234, Image 0022, that being hair number two.
You may.
Mr. Sheehan, what is this hair?
This is the root area of the second hair that I identified as being consistent with an animal hair.
And can you explain why you believe this was, you were able to characterize this as an animal hair?
Along with the shape of the root and the characteristics of the scales and the medulla on this item, identified as being consistent with an animal hair.
I'd like to now move on to 9-30, the sample from the stain on the wipe from bag four and the sponge. And I'd ask to publish Exhibit 235, Image 1195.
And generally, what is 1195 of?
The sample from the stain on the wipe from bag four and the sponge.
You may publish it.
Do you recognize this, Mr. Sheehan?
Yes, I do.
And what observations did you make?
There were red-brown stains on the wipe, as well as there being these yellow-brown debris on the sponge.
What test did you do?
I did the screening test and confirming tests for blood on the wipe portion and the screening test on the yellow-brown debris on the sponge.
And what were the results?
On the area A from the wipe had confirmed positive for blood, and the yellow-brown debris on the sponge was positive as well, and that was preserved as a QLIM sample.
And then what did you do?
Samples were preserved for potential DNA testing.
I now would like to move on to 9-31, the cutting of the piece of rug from bag 5, that being image 1110. And that's exhibit 236. And I'd ask to publish that, Your Honor.
You may do so.
Do you recognize this?
Yes, I do.
And what observations did you make?
This is the underside of the piece of carpet that had had red-brown stains on it.
And what testing did you do?
I did the screening test and confirming test for blood.
And what were the results?
The stained area had confirmed positive for blood.
And as a result, what did you do?
A sample was preserved from this item as item number 9-31.1.
And was this assigned for DNA testing?
Yes.
Looking next at 9-32, the Tyvek suit. I'd ask to show, to publish exhibit 237, image 8388.
You may publish that, 8388.
Mr. Sheehan, what observations did you make of the Tyvek suit?
There were several areas of red-brown staining, both on the exterior and the interior.
I'd also like to publish exhibit 238, image 8390, which is another angle, another side of the Tyvek suit.
You may.
Do you recognize this, Mr. Sheehan?
Yes, I do.
And can you tell us what you see here?
There was two areas of red-brown staining on the leg portions.
And I'd also like to show exhibit 239, image 8391, another image of the Tyvek suit.
You may.
And can you tell us what you see here?
This is the exterior front of the Tyvek suit.
And finally, exhibit 240, image 8392, a bag of the Tyvek suit.
Okay.
Ms. Gilman, 8392. Thank you, Ms. Gilman. And do you recognize that?
Yes, this is the tag on the Tyvek suit.
Thank you. So what observations, you told me about your observations, I apologize. What tests did you do?
I identified four areas of red-brown stains for further testing, A through D. A and C, B were on the exterior front pant legs. Area C was on the back right ankle, and area D was on the interior right sleeve.
And so what testing did you do?
The screening test and confirming test for blood.
And what were your results?
On all four areas, A through D had confirmed positive for blood.
And I'd ask to show exhibit 241, image 8393, that showing those results.
You may show the results.
As a result, what did you do?
Samples were preserved from each one of these areas, as well as from the interior sleeve cuffs of the Tyvek suit.
And why did you take a sample from the interior sleeve cuff?
This is very similar to the reason why collecting from the unstained areas of the slippers. This is an area of high contact with the skin. So this was done for the collection of skin cells to identify a person who may have been wearing it.
And were any of these assigned for DNA testing?
Yes.
And can you tell me which ones were assigned for DNA testing?
Samples number 9-32.1.1 was the sample from the interior sleeve cuffs. 9-32.2.1 was the sample from stain A. And 9-32.5.1 was the sample from stain D on the interior sleeve.
Moving on to 16-1, the rug, I'd ask to show you exhibit 242, image 1143, and publish that to the jury.
You may publish that image to the jury.
What observations did you make of this rug?
I noted an area of red-brown staining on the left portion of this piece of carpet.
And what testing did you do?
The screening test and confirming test.
And what were the results?
The stain area A had confirmed positive for blood.
What did you do?
A sample was collected for potential DNA testing.
Moving on to 16.2. I'd ask to publish exhibit 243, image 1148, a different 16.2, that being a sample from portion of rug 2.
All right, you can publish that, 1148.
What did you note on this? What observations did you make?
There were several areas that identified for testing stains A through F.
And what testing did you do?
The screening tests and confirming tests.
And what were your results?
On stains B through F, the screening test was negative. And on stain A, it had confirmed positive for blood.
I'd like to talk about 16-3, a sample, that being rug number 3. I'd like to show you and publish to the jury exhibit 244, image 1153.
You may do so.
What observations do you make, Mr. Sheehan?
I observed a large amount of red-brown stains on the left portion of the carpet is where I identified as stain A.
And what testing did you do?
The screening and confirming test for blood.
And what were your results?
The area of stain A had confirmed positive for blood.
And as a result, what did you do?
A sample was collected for a potential DNA analysis.
Moving to 16-4, a sample of rug number 4, I'd ask to publish to exhibit 245, image 1158.
May publish 1158.
Thank you. What observations did you make, Mr. Sheehan?
There was an area of red-brown staining on the bottom of this piece that identified for testing as stain A.
So your testing, you did do testing?
Yes.
Okay. And what were the results of your testing?
On this area, stain A had confirmed positive for blood.
And did you preserve it for DNA?
Yes.
Moving to 16-5, rug number 5, I'd ask to publish exhibit 246, image 1163, Your Honor.
You may do so.
Thank you. Mr. Sheehan, What observations did you make?
There was an area of red-brown staining on the left portion of the carpet.
And what testing did you do?
I did the screening and confirming test for blood.
And what were the results?
This stained area A had confirmed positive for blood.
And as a result of that, what did you do?
A sample was preserved for potential DNA testing.
Moving to 16-6, rug number 6, I'd ask at this time to publish Exhibit 247, image 1176 from rug number 6.
You may publish that image, 1176.
Thank you. What observations did you make?
I noted the red-brown stains on the bottom left corner of this piece of carpet.
And what testing did you do?
The screening and confirming test.
What were the results of your testing?
This area had confirmed positive for blood.
And what did you do?
I preserved a sample from this area for potential DNA testing.
Moving on to 16-7, rug number 7. I'd ask to publish Exhibit 248, image 1180.
You may publish image 1180, rug 7.
And, Your Honor, in that same vein, from rug number 7, the other side is 1181, Exhibit 249, if I could also use that one as well.
You may. The reverse side is in evidence now, 249, 1181.
Starting with this image, can you please tell me what you see?
I noted an area of red-brown stains as stain A on the bottom left corner, as well as an area of stain B that is in the center of the white pottery residue that you see.
And if we could just look at the back as well, what observations did you make here?
On the top left corner is the backside of that stained area A, and in the center with the white pottery residue, with the opposite side was stain B.
And what testing did you do?
On both stains A and B, I did the screening and confirming test for blood.
And what were the results of your testing?
Both stains A and B confirmed positive for blood.
And were numbers assigned to these samples?
Yes.
And what were those?
For stain B, which I had sent to DNA for testing, was 16-7.2.1. Yes.
Was anything else with this item?
Yes, I had collected a small amount of the white powdery substance to send to another unit for identification.
Looking at... and I'd ask to publish Exhibit 250, image 1187, that being hair. May I do that, Your Honor?
You may do so.
What did you do to examine this?
I examined 5 random hairs from this clump for identification.
And what tool did you use?
I used a set of tweezers to remove it from the sample and then visualized the items underneath a microscope.
And what classification did you make?
On all 5 pieces of hair that I removed, all 5 had classified as being consistent with a human hair.
And you used the same... technique that you described to us earlier?
Yes.
So after you finished with the testing for blood and looking at the hairs, what did you do next?
I would write my report for all my findings, as well as assign DNA items for analysis.
And what is the next round of testing at your laboratory?
The next section for DNA samples would be the DNA unit.
And what does go on for testing?
Any samples that are assigned by the criminalist working on the case.
And how is the determination made as to which items to send for DNA testing?
When the criminalist is examining the case, they try to select the samples that have the most amount of forensic relevance and answer as many forensic questions as possible.
And are there limits as to the number of items that can be sent forward for DNA testing?
Yes.
Why is that?
For every single case, there are tons of samples that are collected for DNA. It would create a huge backlog in the lab system, which is why we try to select the most forensically relevant samples to answer as many questions as possible on the first round of testing.
So were items in this case sent for DNA testing?
Yes.
And so you've identified those items as we went along. You gave the number and you said which items you sent along for DNA testing. Is that right?
Yes.
In addition to those items, was there one other item that was also sent for DNA testing?
Yes.
And do you know what that was?
This was item number 16-13, which was an unknown tissue.
And was all the DNA testing done in one round?
No, it was not.
Were there multiple rounds of DNA testing that were done here?
Yes.
And who does that next round of testing?
No, that would be the analyst in the DNA unit.
And where do the original physical items get stored after you finish your work on them, Mr. Sheehan?
The original physical items are returned to the investigating agencies, while all of the DNA samples are preserved in our long-term storage area.
If I might just have one moment.
Certainly.
What is Luminol?
Luminol is a type of test that is used by various agencies. It's very similar to that of LCV.
And does fingerprint testing affect DNA testing?
No, it does not.
Does fingerprint testing affect your testing?
There's various chemicals that are used for testing, but again, those are known by the unit and the lab. So measures are taken in order to still do DNA testing in case of negative results.
And what effect of applying cleaning products to blood stains would impact your testing?
If the concentration of bleach or cleaning agent was high enough and was used on a sample long enough, it could degrade and destroy any type of DNA that would be on a sample or area.
Thank you.
Cross-examination.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So, you appear at the home on January 8th, correct?
Yes.
And that was the first time you went there?
Correct.
And before you got there, there were other people from the Mass State Police. They'd already been there.
In previous days, when I had responded to the house, we had all arrived at the same time.
Okay. But you understand, don't you, Mr. Sheehan, that there had been multiple officers in and out of that house over a period of multiple days?
Yes.
And you understand, don't you, Mr. Sheehan, that those officers had gone in and out of that house not wearing any protective garments, not wearing any protective booties. They went and they inspected certain rooms of that house, correct?
Yes.
And you understand, don't you, that when you go to collect samples from a scene like this from the home, it was very important to maintain the integrity of the home before you collected samples, correct?
Correct.
Now, believe me, I'm not questioning your expertise, your training, your experience. Let's be clear about that. But when you try to make conclusions about a sample that you collected in a certain part of this home and then another sample that you collected in another part of the home, knowing that other people had been in and out of that home in the days leading up to you getting there, You can't tell this jury how certain samples are biological samples were first deposited in certain areas of that home.
No, I cannot.
So when you, let's talk a little bit about that bedroom area that you told us about. Do you recall testifying that there was something that looked like white residue or something like that on the flooring of one of the bedrooms upstairs?
Yes.
And you noticed that on January 9th of 2023, didn't you?
Yes.
And in fact, in your report and your notes you wrote, you specifically stated that when you were there on January 8th, you didn't see that, correct?
I don't recall if that was in my report or not.
Okay. Was it in your notes?
No.
All right. Let's come back to that in a minute. On January 8th, were you up in that bedroom where that area was with the, now you told us about the white residue?
No.
So you understand, though, that other Mass State police have been up in that room?
Yes.
And you understand that when you went up on the 9th, that that's when you first saw what you have described to this jury, correct?
Yes.
Now, as a result of the observations that you made in that room, it's our understanding then that you caused, well, that's not entirely accurate, but in any event, there was flooring dug up in or around that area that you saw the white residue, correct?
Correct.
And that area covered that area that looks like from the exhibits, that area that was between the clothing, the pile of clothing, and placard 10, correct?
Yes.
And then you call, well, I keep saying that. Did you ask that the flooring be removed?
No.
Okay, someone else did that.
Correct.
But then after that flooring was removed, you went up and examined that area where the flooring had been.
Correct.
Now, there is a reason, isn't there, why someone decided to remove that flooring? There's a reason for that, right?
Yes.
And the reason would be because they were looking to see if there was biological evidence that had deposited itself between the spaces between the wood flooring planks, correct?
Yes.
And that is a common thing that you have seen in your examination of flooring, that something like fluid blood or fluid biological, some other substance, flows between the crevices or where the flooring butts up against each other, correct?
Yes.
And when the flooring is then pulled up, now what you're looking for is to see if any of the biological fluid had deposited itself, not only in the joints between the flooring planks, but then back on the subfloor where the flooring planks lay, correct?
Yes.
And after a thorough examination, after all of those flooring planks were dug up on that floor, you didn't find any evidence whatsoever of any biological substance that tested positive for blood.
Correct.
And you didn't find any evidence of biological substance that tested for anything else up there after they ripped out that floor, correct?
Correct.
There is nothing in the examination of that bedroom that indicates that any biological substance whatsoever had been deposited on the floor, is it?
Yes, that is correct.
Now, is that the same room that had a hole in the ceiling?
Yes.
And what did you do to test any of that area surrounding that hole in the ceiling in that same bedroom?
I did not test it.
Did you go up into the attic and examine the attic that surrounded that area where that hole was?
No, I did not. From what I recall, that it looked like it was undisturbed.
What do you mean by that?
The insulation area.
The insulation area in the ceiling?
Yes, directly above the hole.
So to you, when you say undisturbed, it looked like someone, maybe someone hadn't even been up in the ceiling because the insulation had been undisturbed, correct?
Correct.
And so if someone had been up in the attic, and based on your experience and training, you would have expected maybe to see that insulation having been disturbed. Is
yes.
that what you mean?
Yes.
And then did anybody point out to you, Mr. Sheep, that the parts of the ceiling from the hole had been maintained in a drawer in that same bedroom?
Yes, they did.
And did you ever examine those pieces of seal?
I recall visualizing them, but they had no staining on them, so I did not go any further with those.
So just focusing now on the hole in the ceiling, you didn't see anything of any forensic significance. Can I put it that way?
Yes.
And when you noticed the insulation in or around that hole, you didn't see that it had been disturbed as if somebody had been up and down at it, right?
Correct.
And then you examined the bits and pieces that had been maintained in the drawer of the cabinet, the nightstand, whatever we want to call it, in that room, and you didn't see anything forensically significant about those pieces either, did you?
Correct.
And then as we talk now about the flooring that was pulled up and examined in that same room, you didn't find anything forensically significant about that flooring, did you?
Correct.
You have, and is that the same room that you saw what you thought were red brown stains in or around the room area?
Yes, stains H and I.
Okay. And what did those stains turn out to be?
I'm not sure. They had screened negative for blood.
Okay, so it's fair to say that sometimes you see red brown stains when you're examining a scene. And since they look and are characterized as red brown stains, are in your report you use RBS? Am I right about that?
Yes.
You see something and you call it RBS, and then you go to test it, and it turns out that it's negative, correct?
Yes, that's fairly common.
Right. And so was there anything else in that bedroom that was forensically significant to you when you examined that?
No.
Mr. Sheehan, you are aware of the fact that some of the baseboard in that same bedroom was removed all the way from the wall, right?
No, I'm not aware of that.
Was baseboard removed in any of the rooms in that home to check to see if there was biological evidence behind the baseboard?
I'm not sure.
Okay. You're not saying it didn't happen. You're just saying, to the best of your knowledge, you didn't. Correct. So as you sit here today in front of these jurors, it's fair to say that forensic, there is nothing in that bedroom that indicates that anything forensic was found in that bedroom, correct?
Correct.
And you have no idea when you talk about that white residue on the floor that you saw on January 9th, you have no idea what caused it, correct?
No.
And you don't know if that was caused by, let me back up a little bit. Did you describe that on direct examination as if the varnish on the floor had been removed?
Yes, that's what it appeared to be.
And when you used the, did you use the word removed?
Yes.
But it's true, isn't it, that you could characterize the absence of the sheen of the varnish that it could have just been the result of wear and tear, correct?
Yes.
And in a bedroom like that, where you have a lot of people coming in and out, and it's in the open area of the room, that could just be a result of wear and tear from kids playing, adults walking back and forth, over periods of time, correct?
Yes.
Did that bedroom have a closet to it?
From what I recall, it was like a closet, but there was no doors on it, if I recall correctly.
Okay. And did you examine the interior of the closet?
Yes.
Did you find anything of forensic significance in the interior closet?
No.
Did you find anything of forensic significance on the door trim or anything of the sort?
I did not.
When you examined that room, Mr. Sheehan, was there a bed in there?
Yes, there was.
And did you examine the bed?
Visually, yes.
And did you do any testing on any parts of the bed?
No.
Did you notice that on the bed in that bedroom, there was in fact sheets and embedded steel attack there, correct?
Yes.
And did you cause to test any of the bedding on that bed in that room?
No, there were no visible stains for testing.
Okay. And it's fair to say, isn't it, when you're examining a scene like this, even though you don't see visible stains, you may, based on your training experience, think, well, maybe I should just check that to see if there's anything there that I can't see with my, just with my eyes, correct?
Correct.
Now, you have tools, don't you? You have chemicals. You have processes that you've been trained on, so you can see, and if you can detect, the presence of a biological substance that you cannot visually see, correct?
Yes.
And why don't you just tell the jury a little bit about that? It's
called a general screen. This general screen process could be done on any area of surface as long as it's hard or even in fabric of nature. It's called a general screen because there's no visible staining on it.
Are you familiar with the word occult?
Yes.
Occult blood?
Yes. Means non-visible.
Okay. And so it's fair to say that you have been trained and you have experience where you can try to find or detect the presence of occult blood, correct?
Yes.
And in this case, in this home, in this room, you didn't even see any cause or any reason for you to check if there was occult blood or anywhere in this room?
Correct.
Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about some other rooms in this house on the second floor. Did you examine other rooms in this house that were up on the second floor?
No, only the bathrooms.
And there were two bathrooms, correct?
Yes.
And was one, can you just tell the jury where the bathrooms were on the second floor?
On the second floor, there was one directly in front of the stairs as you reached the second floor, and then the second one was in one of the other bedrooms.
Now, I thought I heard you say, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that with regards to both bathrooms, you examined and tested the handle faucets, correct?
Yes.
How did you do that?
Generally, to see if there was any type of biological material on a person's hands if they had used the sink to try to wash off.
And in your experience and training, and in examining these scenes, you will often find evidence of biological sample, including blood, on the handles of the sinks, correct?
Yes.
And that's true, isn't it? Especially where someone has tried to clean up a scene where something bad has happened, correct?
Correct.
And in this case, in both bathrooms, on the second floor, on the same floor where that room was that had the hole in the ceiling, you found no evidence of any biological are forensically significant biological sample in either one of these bedrooms, correct?
Correct.
It's fair to say, isn't it, that based on your training and experience, when you're not just looking to those handles, you also looked at the drains, didn't you?
Yes.
And why'd you look at the drains?
If you're washing your hands, that's where all of the water would go.
And in fact, what happens is, isn't it, that if someone has a biological substance on their hands and they're trying to hide it or get rid of it, and they wash their hands, that biological substance can flow down the drain, but it also can remain in the seams or the where the drain connects to the sink, correct?
Yes.
And that is a source, often, based on your experience, where that's where you find examples of biological substances that rest between the seams, I'm going to call them, and that's not a good word, but a seams of where a drain fits into the sink. Right?
Yes.
Because people can try to clean that up. If they want to hide where something happened, they can try to clean that up, but they don't think that when they try to clean it up, they might not be able to clean up what went in between the seams of the sink drain and the sink, correct?
Yes, I would say that's accurate.
Okay. And that's why you look at it, right?
Yes.
Because even though someone might try to clean up, they don't know that that's where the biological substance may rest, correct?
Correct.
And that same thinking, that same process of investigation that you've been trained and you have experience doing it, that was kind of the same thinking you used when you went up and looked at the pulled up floor that someone had pulled up, and you looked at the flooring and the subfloor to see if anything had been deposited there. Someone might not have known could have gotten there, even though they tried to clean the floor, right?
Correct.
And when we talk about the drains and the faucets of those bathrooms upstairs, are you including the drains and the faucets that would be associated with a shower or bathtub that was in those baths?
Yes.
And once again, after all the testing, we found nothing in the bathroom, correct?
Correct.
It was forensically significant, correct?
Yes.
So now I want to ask you, as you move down from the second floor of this home and you move down the stairway, was there in fact a main stairway that came down from that second area you just told us yours about?
Yes.
And did you examine the stairway that led down?
Yes.
Were the stairs that traveled from the second floor down to the first floor, were they wood or covered in carpet or anything of the sort?
If I recall correctly, they were hardwood.
Okay. And you examined those stairs to see if there was any evidence of blood?
Yes, visually.
And you saw nothing?
Correct.
And you saw nothing on the walls that bordered those stairs?
Correct.
And you saw nothing on the railings that would border the stairs, correct?
Correct.
So now, we've moved from the second floor, the bedroom with the hole in the ceiling, to two bathrooms upstairs, all going down the stairs, and Wright has, if we think about that now, so far, you haven't found anything whatsoever forensically in that home or those areas.
Correct.
Is that a good place to stop for today?
It's... the best place, yes.
More continuous coverage in the trial of Brian Walsh from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify has got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify has got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No